are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March the 7th. And Mason, give it to him one time.
Detroit basketball!
That is correct. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Detroit News and the Associated Press. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Exciting times to be a Pistons fan. And spread the word to all the other sports fans in Michigan who might be forgotten about those Pistons and forgotten about Dre, as they say at the Little Caesars Arena. But today we're going to talk, looking back on Wednesday night's triumph against the Minnesota Timberwolves, also going to break down the Karl Anthony Towns Andre Drummond rivalry, as one-sided as it comes in the NBA, probably about as one-sided as Dre versus Embiid. But this time, this one is in Andre Drummond's favor, no doubt. We're also going to hear my post-game interview with Anthony Tolliver, the fan favorite former Pistons bench player, about his time in Detroit. It was a brief talk, as you can imagine, after the tough loss for Anthony and the Timberwolves in a solemn locker room, but good to chat with him nonetheless. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Lockdown Pistons Twitter account. Check us out on Facebook at Lockdown Pistons dash Matt Shook. Appreciate all you guys do in terms of spreading the word, in terms of all the follows and the likes and all that good stuff. But the Pistons get the win, 131-114 over the Minnesota Timberwolves on Wednesday night in front of a nice crowd in downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. A loud crowd, all pro-partisan Pistons in this one, not like Sunday when it seemed like on TV and from all the folks I talked to on Wednesday night at the game that it was 50-50 with the Toronto Raptors. Large contingent of Canadian fans in town. But for the Pistons on Wednesday, the 10th win in the last 12 games, three in a row for Detroit. Pistons are now 12-3 in games that I attend this season. So maybe Venmo me some money and get me up on StubHub or SeatGeek, or Vivid Seats actually is the preferred way that we can get to those games there. But the Pistons now 32-31, over 500 for the first time since December 19th, when they topped, you guessed it, Minnesota in overtime in an improbable comeback. So every time they play the Cavaliers, they win and they get over 500. The Pistons now 4-2 when going up against a team that is on the second half of a back-to-back, and themselves, the Pistons are 5-4 in those back-to-back situations. So if you kind of figure it out, those things should even out, and that you're going to be tired yourself, so you should maybe lose some of those games, and then you should want to take advantage of the teams that are tired coming in. So the fact that they have winning records in both of those situations and 9-6 overall when you combine those two, that's kind of a +3 where the Pistons are at right there, which kind of speaks to the conditioning of this team in some ways. And of course, you got to give your hats off to the coaching staff for the way that they've managed the players' health and bodies throughout this 82-game season. And of course, a stroke of luck is involved with good health there. We've talked about on the show about all the times that they've had injury luck with teams coming in, sitting guys because of rest, when we talk about Kevin Love and Kawhi Leonard over the weekend. And it's been countless times this season that the Pistons have been blessed with great health and great schedule luck and all that good stuff. But 31 points and 15 rebounds for the star of the night, Andre Drummond. We'll have much more on him a little bit later. But Luke Kennard, 21 points off the bench, a +29 in the game. He played with purpose and a confidence and a swagger that we have not seen from him really in a Pistons uniform at all for any kind of sustained stretch. Ish Smith, a +28 off the bench as well. We know that single game plus minus isn't always the most reliable stat, but for those two guys to dominate in that category, head and shoulders above the rest of the Pistons that played on Wednesday night, just makes a whole lot of sense with the way the eye test looked for those two guys on the court. Ish had 19 points in the game, 5 assists and 5 rebounds as well. Just stellar play from Ish Smith in 27 minutes, and it also allowed Dwayne Casey to give Reggie Jackson some prolonged rest. Reggie played just 20 minutes in the game, and he was okay. You know, he had 6 points and 5 assists. Certainly wasn't the downfall that contributed to the early 16-point deficit that the Pistons had in the first quarter. Wasn't burning the world on fire or anything like that, but kind of allowed Dwayne Casey to give Reggie a little bit of like a half of a rest day for him, and he could stay on the bench and cheer his team on. And that was the case. I mean, Reggie needs those days off, by the way. He's played in all 63 games, the only Piston to play in all the games so far this season. And I was opposite Reggie. I was on the baseline opposite the Pistons bench. And he was on the bench with his, you know, all of his wraps on and all of his ice on, his belt on that keeps his back, whatever. I'm not really sure what all the stuff that Reggie has on his body while he's off out of the game does for him. But he was being entertaining, leading the cheers, dancing all night long. Just a really energetic performance from that guy on the bench, I got to say. It caught my eye several times. One time when Karl-Anthony Towns fouled out, he kind of did this pretty elaborate, and it was really funny, kind of dance going side to side, waving goodbye to Karl-Anthony Towns. There was one other time when one of the Pistons, I think it was maybe Andre, was shooting a free throw, and Casey was signaling Ish over to tell him something in the backcourt. And then after that, Reggie was then signaling Ish over, but Reggie had his arms open like he wanted to just give Ish a hug, and had Ish laughing about that. So just come over here, give me a hug, just because. And then he didn't come over, but still a pretty funny moment. And then one time when one of the Pistons put up, this is when they were rolling up by 20 plus, one of the Pistons put up a three. It was a stretch where, you know, the Little Caesars Arena had already come unglued a couple times heading into timeouts. You know how that goes. You go on a mini run, the other team calls a timeout, and the crowd goes crazy. It was about to be another one of those moments where it was kind of the capping of another mini run. And the three goes up, and it actually missed that time. But Reggie had, like, run out of bounds, like, down the baseline all the way to almost the basket and was going to, like, do, like, this elaborate type of dance because he just knew the shot was going to go in. It actually didn't go in, and he kind of shuffled back with his head down. But it was funny. It was funny to watch. I mean, those things, they're small things. They don't mean much. Reggie's a character at times, but you would not know that from watching most of this team this season up until when he started playing well. And you can understand why a guy would be discouraged when he's not at full health. He's not doing the things that he used to be doing on the basketball court, especially, you know, now we're in like year three of that for him with all the injuries that he's piled up. So he's playing well. He's feeling good. He's being a consummate teammate. And not that, you know, a guy who's being a pro and trying to work out of something and is discouraged, not that he's being an awful teammate, but, you know, to reach peak teammate status, sometimes you got to be encouraging your teammates, doing those things that a leader should be doing. And again, you can understand why it might be impossible when a guy is frustrated, but certainly Reggie Jackson is doing those things right now. And of course, it comes with the good feelings of how he's playing and how he's shooting and how he's feeling health-wise as well. But hats off to Reggie for kind of not only playing well, but kind of turning things around into the way he, you know, is behaving. And I know that's maybe the wrong term, but the way he feels and the way he's leading for this team. But on the other hand, 24 points for, speaking of anti-leaders, Karl-Anthony Towns, 18 for Andrew Wiggins. And hey, Tank guys, those are two number one overall picks right there. Those are the number one pick being the best case scenario for what you want in a tank. If you could get two number one picks, that's as good as it gets, right? And Karl-Anthony Towns, much better than your average number one pick. Year in and year out, Andrew Wiggins probably below, certainly a little bit below average for a number one overall pick, but not as bad in below average as Karl-Anthony Towns is good in terms of above average. So really a little bit more than you could ask for with two number one overall picks. And where's that team going, by the way? But the Pistons going forward have a home and home this weekend with Chicago, Friday night at the United Center in the Windy City, 8 o'clock start there. And then Sunday afternoon back in Detroit, a noon game. And that is after the clocks go forward. So for the bodies and all of us watching at home and for the fans, for the probably a little bit of a lack of energy, it's an 11 a.m. start, basically, on Sunday. Strange. It throws a variable out there. The Bulls, by the way, just beat the 76ers on Wednesday. They're playing pretty well. I'm going to go ahead and go on record and say the Pistons and the Bulls are going to split this weekend in Chicago. Not sure which one will go in which direction, but that's my prediction. Just have that feeling. Not to throw cold water on the party we're having here, but Lauri Markkanen's a stud. Zach LaVine's playing really well as of late, just like he was very early on in the season as well. But then the Pistons have the second half of a back-to-back after the afternoon game Sunday. This time will be on Monday night in Brooklyn at 7:30 and then Wednesday in Miami. So that is back-to-back red-letter games, a really big stretch of basketball, especially considering what's coming up after that with the Lakers, the Raptors, and then the Cleveland on the road, with the, which is a back-to-back after the Raptors game and kind of a role reversal from this past weekend. And then we're going out west. It's tough travel. Some back-to-backs out there. You got Golden State and Denver as part of that trip. You know, there's some landmines out there on the schedule, so it'd be good to get both of these against Chicago this weekend while you can. Again, not really predicting it from this podcaster, but certainly would be good if the Pistons could pull that up. But up next, we're going to talk about the Andre Drummond and Karl-Anthony Towns matchup, which did not go well. AD versus KAT. AD came out well ahead in this one on Wednesday night. But when you get in your car, go ahead and tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Pistons. If you're not doing it by now, then what kind of listener of the Locked On Pistons podcast are you? Speaking of what kind of listener are you, we also have an important favor to ask of you. We would like your help. We've put together a survey so we can learn more about listeners just like you and make your favorite Locked On podcast even better. This is your opportunity to tell us what you like and tell us what you don't like. It should take about 15 minutes to complete, and by participating, you enter into the chance to win a $250 Vivid Seats gift card, which you can use for anything you'd like in terms of tickets. Just visit LockedOnPodcast.com/survey to participate. Again, that's LockedOnPodcast.com/survey, and we appreciate your feedback.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we're going to hear from Anthony Tolliver, as the former Pistons forward had 10 points on Wednesday in his only game this season at Little Caesars Arena. But a little schedule standing as update here, as the Heat beat the Hornets on Wednesday night, which was a decently good result for the Pistons, given that you'd rather be tied with the Heat because you might have a chance to win that tiebreaker, unlike your situation in a two-way tiebreaker with the Hornets. But the bad news is was that the Nets of Brooklyn beat the Cavs, expectedly, but still a bummer for Pistons fans there. Pistons and Nets still tied for the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference, 2.5 games ahead of the Heat. And then Orlando and Charlotte are one game back of Miami, tied for ninth. So Pistons 3.5 games inside of the playoffs, which is nice. And now a 95% chance of making the postseason, according to 538.com, which still projects a 41-41 season for the Pistons. With some of these easy wins against bad teams, the strength of schedule the rest of the way is getting a little tougher, as you would imagine. Pistons are now the 22nd most difficult schedule, so still in that inner easier third of teams with schedule left. But that will probably turn quite a bit after this weekend, after the two Chicago games fall off the remaining schedule. So maybe they'll move to the middle of the pack after that, or maybe even into the barely difficult, more difficult than average. So more important, all the more reason to win those Chicago games this weekend. By the way, Brooklyn, the toughest schedule remaining in the NBA, according to Tankathon.com. The Pistons have now won 8 straight against the Minnesota Timberwolves. That is 4 years of sweeps, 2-game sweeps against the T-Wolves. That comes after 10 straight losses to them before this streak of 8 straight wins. So it's been up and down, to say the least, against Minnesota. Well, so what are we talking about there? What changed from those 10 straight losses to those now 8 straight wins for the Pistons against Minnesota? Well, ironically, when that changed, the offseason going into the 2015-16 season was the same year that the Timberwolves drafted Karl-Anthony Towns first overall out of Kentucky. Now, by all accounts, this guy, other than me, so by all but one accounts, or maybe some of you guys out there who have watched him play against the Pistons throughout his career, this guy is fantastic. He is putting up numbers at a Hall of Fame clip so far, now a 2-time All-Star at the age of 23, one of the league's great young players, a max contract guy without a doubt, and again, a refreshing star in a lot of ways as well. Not all of the off-court stuff, although Jimmy Butler might beg to differ about some of his qualities as a basketball player and or leader. But what is it about Andre Drummond and the Pistons with this guy? Karl-Anthony Towns, the numbers aren't terrible. He's averaging 19.6 per game, points per game against the Pistons, and 8.8 rebounds in those 8 games. And he's a 22-12 guy in his career. So certainly a down, some down numbers from his career averages, 2.2 points and 3.0 rebounds below. Not horrible stats, but the 3.0 rebounds below your career average is noteworthy, considering he's going up against Andre Drummond, who, you know, as we know here in Detroit, is, I would say, you know, in my opinion, the best rebounder of this era right now, this generation. And it would be nice if he kind of got that due a little bit more around the league, as it's pretty clear if you look at the numbers. But the stats aren't the issue, really, for Karl-Anthony Towns. Like I said, he's close to those career numbers, although the rebounding kind of sticks out like a sore thumb. 24 points on Wednesday in the loss. I got to say, he was pretty good early. Pretty good in the first quarter as Minnesota made their big 16-point jump before Andre Drummond, ironically, knocks down a three-pointer at the buzzer to make it a 13-point deficit for the Pistons after one. Karl-Anthony Towns had two block shots on the first two possessions of the game. Looked like he was in line for a monster night. He had a four-point play. He shot well. He was 3-for-6 from three with that barely jumping jump shot of his that looks strange but works very well. This guy's a 40% shooter from three in his career and now shooting, 40% this season. And really, and he was better last year. I think it was about 42%. And he's almost five attempts a game right now. So a high volume, too. So it's not like he's a low-volume guy with a nice clip. He's shooting a lot of them and making a lot of them, too. But during this game on Wednesday night, Dre, other than maybe that first quarter, Andre just ate his lunch throughout. Andre had 31 points and 15 rebounds, eight of those offensive rebounds. I mean, I talk on this show sometimes how if he's just loading up on defensive rebounds, sure, they're good. It's important to have a good defensive rebounder. But a lot of times those are without guys going for offensive rebounds or standing in a crowd with Reggie right next to him or something like that where it's not like a you know, a high-leverage rebounding opportunity. But these were, again, eight offensive rebounds. On top of that, 8-for-10 from the free throw line. There's no such thing as a cheap offensive rebound. I know that there are sometimes the ball bounces right to you, but you got to be there. You got to be in position for it. And if you are in position for it, you're somewhat sacrificing a little bit of what you could be doing defensively to prepare for the transition in the next possession. So, again, Andre is now averaging 20.0, exactly 20 points per game and 16.4 rebounds in head-to-head matchups in those eight games against Karl-Anthony Towns. Most importantly, 8-0 in those games. So in those years overall, Andre is a 15-15 guy in the past 4 years combined. So to get 20 points and 16.4 rebounds, a noticeable tick up in production for Andre Drummond. By the way, 15-15 in the past 4 years, Andre is basically a 14-14 guy in his career, factoring in, you know, the lower production first couple years of his season. So not right on the nose of those numbers, 14-14, but really pretty much right there. This year, career high 17.6 points per game and 15 rebounds. The 15 rebounds, not a career high for him, but still leading the league for the third time in four seasons. Andre Drummond, number zero in your on your stat sheet, but maybe number one in your hearts lately, as he's been really playing well ever since I gave him that pep talk after the Clippers debacle, lit into him and Luke Kennard. Look what's happened since then, right? I feel like maybe I should take a little credit for that, or maybe I should just stop podcasting forever. But anyway, Drummond, he was everywhere tonight. Best player on the floor by a wide margin on both teams. Even better than all-NBA candidate Blake Griffin, who's been fantastic this year. Drummond's teammate Blake had 9 points on the game, held to single digits for the first time since November 9th, which was the 11th game of the season. But he was into it too, and largely, I would say, because of the dominance of Andre Drummond. It got the crowd going, and it got Blake going too. I'll point this one out like I did with the Reggie Jackson anecdote from earlier. While the Pistons were really getting going in the fourth, Blake Griffin had his own energy raised by Andre Drummond. One time, Griffin was switched onto a guard at the top of the key. I think it might have been Josh Okogie, or maybe it might have been Jeff Teague, but I could see Griffin because he's kind of looking right at me as I'm on the opposite baseline. He put a big smile on his face, which you don't see during gameplay with Blake Griffin, and kind of was hammered up a little bit and got into a big defensive stance, tried to defend the guard. The guard drove kind of a little bit by him, had the advantage on the drive, and got off a nice makeable shot, but it missed, and Blake dove on the floor to tie up the loose ball and, again, got the crowd going a little bit. It was like Andre's energy is rubbing off on Blake instead of what we've seen pretty much all season, which is Blake calming Andre down or talking him back into the game or trying to pump him up on one of those nights that he's having a lull. And now that we're seeing Blake Griffin, and I was watching Blake Griffin quite a bit during this game on Wednesday night, he does look a little tired. He does look a little gassed, which makes complete sense. I mean, we're 63 games into the season. I think he's rested like three games total. It would be nice to see Blake be able to get some time off. I'm thinking about that Sunday game with the Pistons playing Monday night on the second half of a back-to-back, especially that one being against Brooklyn. I would think that maybe you want to play Blake on Friday night, give him Sunday night off, and then go into an important game Monday night with Blake Griffin back, especially because you got that odd 11 a.m. time. They might throw off some of the routines of some of the players. And, yeah, that might hurt your – especially if you get the win on Friday night in Chicago. That Sunday game becomes house money. I know that every game counts the same in the standings, but with Brooklyn, giving them a loss is another half a game of help for you as you chase them and go neck and neck in them in the playoff hunt. So if I'm Dwayne Casey, I'm thinking long and hard, especially if you get the win Friday night in Chicago, of giving Blake Griffin a rest possibly on Sunday going into that Monday game. That's just a thought that I have, and we'll see how that plays out with the coaching staff. It becomes a lot more complicated if you lose that Friday night game in Chicago, obviously. So it was a nice little role reversal to see after a season of Blake Griffin kind of nudging Andre Drummond to the right direction at times this year. I think Andre Drummond not only playing so well for his own personal benefit and the things that he's doing on the stat sheet that helped the team win, I think he's been a leader in the way that he's stepped up his energy, the way that his effort is going, his production. He's becoming, again, the best player on the court by far on Wednesday night for either team, and that's no knock on Blake. He's been the best player on the floor for, I don't know, 55 of the 63 games or something like that for this team, so no shame in that. But nice to see Andre Drummond just playing strongly and well, and hats off to the big guy for how he's been playing lately, and particularly on Wednesday night against an all-star from the Western Conference. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Your company can be mentioned right here, right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors that they hear on their favorite shows. Our demo is 98% males with more education and more earning power than traditional media audiences. So have your company sponsor this podcast. Go ahead and email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more. Now up next, we're going to hear from Anthony Tolliver, as the former Pistons forward had 10 points in his return to Little Caesars Arena. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, and here's my interview with Anthony Tolliver of the Minnesota Timberwolves after the Pistons topped his T-Wolves on Wednesday night at Little Caesars Arena.
Days like tonight when you're back at a place that you've played before, I know that this is something that you've done many times throughout your career, but what's it like? I know it's a quick trip to Detroit, but what's it kind of like?
It's always nice to come back, see familiar faces and familiar teammates and all that, especially since I was here, you know, the previous year. So, but yeah, it's always good to get back. I mean, all great people, had a great experience here, so, you know, nothing to, you know, there was no ill will or, you know, revenge game or nothing like that, just playing basketball.
And you're going through a real nice stretch, seven or eight games here lately individually for yourself. I mean, what's kind of working for you right now?
Just opportunity, man. Where opportunity meets, preparation. That's where you have success. So that's kind of my motto. That's what, you know, I just stay ready, you know, and whenever I get an opportunity, I just try and take advantage of it. So, you know, tonight it doesn't matter, you know, if I played well or whatever. You know, we didn't get the win, so. But, you know, I just try and go out there and do whatever I can to help a team win.
This is year 10 for you in the league. Was that a number that means something to you, or is it just kind of another year to get to that point in the NBA, your NBA career?
Yeah, I mean, that 10 was definitely something, you know, I was going after. I think that now that I'm here, I'm like, you know, I want more. You know, I want to continue to get better and bring something to a team that they want. So, it's a dream come true, but I don't. It's a dream that's not over yet.
Mm-hmm. And how are you feeling? I mean, how would you size up kind of how the season has gone as a whole for you right now?
I mean, it's been a crazy season, up and down, definitely. But at the end of the day, definitely. I'm blessed, you know, I'm still here. I have an opportunity, especially now getting a chance to play a lot more. No complaints.
And you know, being back with the Minnesota for the second time in your career as a second stint there, what's kind of some things that you've kind of noticed? You know, you got a lot of talented young players and the team this time around. What's kind of some differences about this time?
A lot different than last time around. Last time around it was rebuild. You know, this time around we have a lot of great young talent that, you know, obviously made the playoffs last year. Obviously, there's been some trades and some different changes, but, you know, have a lot of talent in this locker room. So It's just trying to unlock it and be consistent with it.
You talk to a lot of the people around the Pistons organization and fans when you're pregame and everything like that here at Los Caesars?
Of course. I mean, you know, even the ball boys and the locker room attendants, all those guys, became real good friends with. And, it's just good to see everybody and good to be back.
What do you guys need to do to kind of get into the playoffs here in the West?
We have to figure out the defensive end. We've been up and down with it so much this year, just not been consistent individually as a team. We just have to be better. Right now we're just super inconsistent and we're scoring the ball at a very high clip overall, but we're just not getting enough stops. So I mean, if we're and have any sliver of a chance of getting back into the mix, it's going to be with our defense.
Thanks, Anthony.
Yep.
That is Anthony Tolliver, a guy that has a nice place in the hearts of Pistons fans. And who knows, maybe he'll be back with the team for a third stint with the Pistons down the road, 33 years old, 10 years into the league. But like he says, has designs of sticking around a little bit longer, maybe going 12 years. Who knows, maybe going 15 years, maybe sliding over the bench. At some point, we will see. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast. We got some exciting stuff. I got the Locked On Bulls host, Matt Peck, coming on. We're going to preview the weekend's game. That'll be Friday's podcast. All sorts of guests. We got guest hosts on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday as I'll be out of town. Exciting stuff for you guys next week as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.